joy divine.
Play it, boys.
Leaning on everlasting arm. What a blessedness. What a peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Brother, we're not leaning on bank accounts. We're not leaning on financial situations. We're not leaning on how much money that we wish we had in the bank. We're not certainly not leaning on how much we've got, but we're leaning on the everlasting arms. You know what? You win regardless of what you're thinking about yourself right now. If you've been called, chosen, elected, you are a winner. Brother Robert, you can't lose. You can't lose, Brother Rob. You can't lose, brothers. Brother Jim, you can't lose. You're a winner. Look at somebody to say, I'm glad to know a winner. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. I'm leaning. I'm glad to know a winner, brother. I'm glad to know a winner, Brother Jonathan. I'm glad to know a winner. I'm glad to know a winner. You too, buddy. Play it, boys. Play it. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. I'm leaning. I'm safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning. I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Where in the world would you rather be on a rainy Wednesday night than right here in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to be in church? Did we have a time over the weekend? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Oh, I'll tell you what's the truth, friend. That God is so good to us. Give us nuggets from straight from the throne of glory. Sayings that the world wished they could apply to their life, and they could. What we heard over the weekend, I was telling somebody in there a minute ago, a man walking down the street that didn't have a clue about God, if he'd have sat down and listened to those messages, it would have helped him. Now, what should it do to us as Christian people, believers of the end time message? What should a message like we heard do for us? Ought to rejuvenate us. We ought to be so fired up, so on fire for the Lord. Nothing can't stand in our way. Amen. Nothing can't touch us. Oh, Satan would like to kill every one of you, but he can go so far. And God says, that's my boy, get your hand off of him. That's my girl. Get your hand off of her, Satan. Aren't you glad to be serving to God like that? Give him a good hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. I'm safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning in verse everlasting. Amen. You can be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. We've got Brother Richard Lee visiting with us tonight from Guyana. And he's going to come in a few minutes, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. We're certainly glad to have our brother with us in the service tonight. Just seemed like a tremendous, tremendous brother. And we're glad to have him in the service with us tonight. Sister Michelle Swafford's grandmother is sick and in the hospital. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Now, this is a testimony from Brother Keith Phillips. I'll take the time to read it to you. I want to share with my brothers and sisters the blessing that I have received since my surgery on Monday. The truth we have heard over the pulpit these past 2 weeks have manifested for me. I had stents placed in both tubes leading from the kidneys to the bladder. One stone was removed. When I got home from surgery, I took a half of a pain pill, which was not really effective. So when pain came in waves, I began to smile, even fake smile, till my jaws hurt. Sing Jesus is a waymaker, quote scripture out loud, and think of pleasant things, and the pain went away. Praise the Lord. That's all right, ain't it? The pain went away within minutes, and it has worked ever since. I am so thankful for the power of the Word. Aren't you glad? Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory. Thank God for our brother Keith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just touch my heart. And when my heart gets touched, my eyes tear up. I can't help it. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to ask for continued prayer for her daughter, April. She is battling depression and is borderline autistic. She has applied for disability, and we ask that the Lord's will would be done in that situation. Also, her brother-in-law is in the intensive care unit, is currently on a ventilator and dialysis. He has a history of drug abuse and needs God in his life. His name is Gerald Head. Sister Victoria wants you as a congregation to know this, that she prays for you daily. I appreciate that, don't you? Amen. Somebody say, God bless Sister Victoria. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer says, have an unspoken prayer request. Please pray for restoration and deliverance. To no weapons formed against us shall prosper. Please continue to pray for my dad. He's having situations the Lord knows all about. God has gave the promise, so they're just trusting and believing the Lord, and we just commit that all unto God tonight. Brother Daniel Nunley's surgery went well yesterday. He wants to thank everyone for their prayers, and most of all for the Lord Jesus and his love and care. We appreciate Brother Daniel. Praise the Lord for his successful surgery. Sister Janet Kennedy and family have a very urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Frank Williams went to the doctor about his foot, and the doctors have done an examination and analyzed his situation and told him to stay off of that foot as much as possible. So we want to pray for Brother Frank, Sister Jackie Williams, that the Lord would just be mindful of Brother Frank and bless their home with peace and comfort. And may God just help those folks. We just love them, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs tonight among us, but we're serving such a Savior. He's real. Aren't you glad you know Him? Amen. Let's stand tonight. Brother Richard Lee, if you'd come at this time, take us to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to pray. We certainly appreciate our brother. Give him a nice hand tonight. God bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord.
Shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, Lord. We know that you're the mighty God, and veil before us love, Lord, and love us with your elective love before the foundation of the world. We know that you, the Jehovah of the old, is the Jesus of the new, Lord. And Lord, you said that healing is your children's bread, Lord. And we come before you tonight as a believing people, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you smite every work of the enemy, Lord. Every virus, Lord. Everything that is contrary, Lord, that is not belonging to that body, Lord. We pray, God, that you shed blood, Lord, will cleanse them and make them whole tonight, Lord. We want to thank you for your grace and your love, Lord. Knowing that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Lord. And we come before you tonight, Lord, knowing, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. We claim victory tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Give him another nice hand tonight. We appreciate him. God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Well, we're wearing it out real quick, but let's just keep singing it till you get so tired of it you won't even sing it anymore. My God is awesome. How about yours?
Yes, sir.
Is your God awesome? Yes, sir. Is he just something that you just throw in a corner when you don't want him? I need him every second of every day. My God is awesome. You going to sing with me tonight? You going to worship the Lord? Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. My God is awesome. Yes, he's awesome. Yes, he's awesome. He is awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, he's awesome. You're just awesome. Yes, you're awesome. My God is awesome. verse for me one more time, Brother Harry. By His stripes we're healed. Healing don't mean as much to you until you really need it or until you've really received it. I'm seeking Him to manifest His healing in me. How about you? How about you, whether it be in physical or spiritual, whatever it is. How many of you want Him to manifest His healing in you? The rest of you don't care. What about you? Do you want Him to manifest Himself in your life? Oh, let's love Him a little bit tonight, church. Sing it, buddy.
My God is awesome, the Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation.
Oh, by His stripes I'm healed.
God is awesome.
Do it again.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, He's so awesome.
He is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome.
Savior of the world.
Oh, giver of salvation. By His stripes. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Somebody say, blessed be the Lord. Sister Swanson, come on tonight. You have a song for us wherever you're at. If you'd come on to the platform. Is she already up here? Where is she at? Sister Swanson. Is she here, Brother Larry? Is she coming? There she comes. Give her a nice hand tonight as you're seated. God bless you. Appreciate it. Hey, sister, we appreciate you tonight. God bless you as you sing for us.
You formed me with your holy hands before my birth. You planned your perfect purpose for me on this earth. And I want to be all you've created me to be. 'Cause for all you've done, you deserve the glory. Here's my my hopes, my dreams.
Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that tonight? Praise the Lord. That was a good song. Brother David, you brought another good singer along. Praise the Lord. Well, we're so glad to have Brother Terry Horn. You want to be preaching for us tonight? How many of you appreciate Brother Terry? Just a real brother. The ministers here at Happy Valley, God bless their hearts. They're just so gallant in battle. And I appreciate it. Brother West, God bless all of you. All the ministry. God, let's give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, if you'll stand tonight. We want to welcome any visitor that we have. I got carried away a while ago and didn't do anything right. But it's okay. We'll recover. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're certainly glad to have you. Brother and Sister Dooley still with us, going to be here through the weekend. We're so glad to have them. More than them that are still with us, we want to say we're glad to have you in the service with us. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless our streamers. Let me give you just a real, real quick testimony. You know, at the Fall Festival, Brother Jim Gold was here from living in Colorado now. And he said, Brother Louis, he said, you don't really realize when you say God bless our streamers what that means to us. He said, you would not believe the people in that part of the country that streams Happy Valley services. He said he walked up on a guy the other day, just had a laptop, a little iPad or a laptop or something, and he didn't know what it was, didn't even know the guy. And he was streaming a service from Happy Valley. So just the word of the Lord's going out. We're certainly not all of it, but aren't you glad to be a little bitty part of it? Are you glad you're part of what God's doing in the earth right now? God is so good to us, and we're just so thankful for what these services mean to us and to people that we'll never see in this life, but we'll maybe get to see them on the other side. I hope and pray we're all together there, don't you? But these services mean so much to so many people that you'll never know and that I'll never know. And we just say, God bless our streamers. Can we do that? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Let's sing this as Brother Terry gets ready to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Hadn't sung in a while, so if we mess it up, we'll recover. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord. Sing it. Who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how we praise you. We lift your name in all. Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. In our praises, as your people declare your mighty
say it,
blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord.
God bless you, buddy. I hope you just preach your socks nearly off tonight.
Well, we'll try.
God bless you, buddy.
who reigns forever evermore.
Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. Apologize for forgetting my coat, but I don't wear it anyway, so. But you always want to start out with it. How many is glad to be in church?
Amen.
We get to go to church one more time.
While
you're turning to the last chapter of Genesis, or the very next to last verse in Genesis, I want to just say I always appreciate the Lord. He just means so much to me. You know, when you really fall in love with the Lord Jesus, it's just an altogether different thing. Your nature's changed, your life's different. And I just appreciate the opportunity to get up to stand before you people and tell you how much I love the Lord. I got to talk to Brother Andrew Glover out at the Fall Fest just for a few minutes, and I was telling him, I said, I'm so glad that you're here, because he told me he was going to be speaking this weekend. I said, I want to let you know, I said, you'll be speaking this weekend, so all the things that I mess up, you straighten them out this weekend. He said, Brother Terry, I only got two services. So, well, might be rough tonight. So, but I want to continue on. People asking about, are you going to say anything about Israel? Yeah. And I have been so excited and intrigued and enthused about the little, I'm not taking Brother Donnie's spirit, but a little series, I guess, Blessings in the Homeland. And I want to continue on with that thought tonight. And I don't think I'll bring anything new, but one thing I want you to receive tonight, I want you to receive a greater appreciation for election. Election. I noticed they mentioned, Brother Louis mentioned the word election. It was mentioned in the brother's prayer, election. And sometimes I don't think we really appreciate election enough. And if I could just get you to go home with a greater appreciation for election, I think it will, then you'll love the Lord and you'll serve Him better. I know you will. And you see, when somebody saves your life and you had nothing to do with it, then you love that person more. You remember the little story? I won't take a lot of time, but the friend of mine I worked at the post office with me is in Vietnam. He was a door gunner and a helicopter. Got shot down in Cambodia. Pilot got killed. Co-pilot was severely wounded. His legs broken. Paul Brown was his name. He was okay. So as soon as the helicopter goes down, of course, you know the enemy's going to be there in just a few minutes. Well, he had to leave the pilot. He was dead. He drugged the co-pilot into some thickets. And anyway, they escaped, you know. They were 30 miles into Cambodia. And that friend of mine, Paul Brown, he carried on his back, that lieutenant, put a stent on him after he got into safe territory, I mean, away from the enemy. Put stents on his leg, carried him on his back, 30 miles, took him 29 days, and he said he killed 17 enemy on the way back with a club or a knife. This guy, he was tough. But I want to tell you something. He literally saved that man's life, and that lieutenant was forever indebted to him. And so, you know, when somebody really saves your life, truly saves your life, and you had nothing to do with it, you love that person. And that was us. God saved your life, and you had nothing to do with it. We're indebted to God. We should really appreciate what God did for us. He saved our life. In the book of Genesis, last chapter 50 and 25, verse 25, I want to read that, and then we want to turn to number 17 and verse 8. Genesis 50 and 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. We'll read a little bit more of it later. In Numbers 17 and 8. And it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of the witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. I want to speak tonight, if I could give it a title, Joseph's Bones, Aaron's Rod, and You. Joseph's bones, Aaron's rod, and you. And we're going to, Lord help us, to bring a little parallel out of these applications. And your mind is going to go, okay, where is he going with this? Well, I'll just give you a little quiz at the end of the service, if I remember it. Where do you think I might be going with this? Okay, and you just think about it as we go through. Well, you just make up your mind in the next 10 seconds, and then I'll ask you at the end of the service. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm so happy to be in church. It's my life, my love. Not because we just go to church, because that's where we meet you. I know you're everywhere. You're at home with us. We carry you around with us. Your token life is within us. You're an ever-present help in a time of need. You're everything to us. We love you so much. You're our power, our comforter, our advocate. Lord, just we could just go on and on. But I pray you help us tonight. Bless the reading of the Word. Bless the exhortation, the preaching of the Word. And may we go home and say it's been good to be in the house of God. Encourage our hearts. Give us understanding into these thoughts you've laid upon my heart. And we'll say when we leave this building, truly, Lord, did not our hearts burn within us as He talked to us along the way. Bless your children tonight, we ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, Amen. Oh, you can be seated. Blessings in the homeland. I want to talk about the great blessing. The great blessing in the homeland. You might even call it the greatest blessing in the homeland. Joseph's bones. Well, we talk about Israel. What's all the big deal about Israel? Israel, I mean, what's the big deal about Israel? It's a little tiny place about the size of New Jersey. About two-thirds of it's desert. It's arid, sandy. You know, it's just it's sparse and not much vegetation, you know. The countries have fought over Israel for years. And the land, it's just not much there, especially in the Gabe Desert and all southern Israel. Nations have wanted Israel for 4,000 years. And we ask, what's the big issue about Israel? And you know, why have the Turks and the British and the Palestinians, and which are the sons of Ishmael, and many other peoples all over the years, why have they wanted Israel? And why has Egypt and Syria and different ones, Jordan and so forth, why have they wanted to destroy Israel? I mean, the whole focus of Israel, there's obviously a reason why this one little parcel of real estate is people concerned about Israel. And there's a reason. It's not beautiful. It's no great resort. It's mostly desert. But let's consider this. You know, Satan hates anything God does. So we know that's the first issue right there. God chose a man and He gave him this land, Abraham. And God chose a people, the Israelites, and gave them a place to stay and a home. And God chose this place to fulfill His plan. So God gave Abraham a covenant, and the devil just can't stand it. You know, this covenant that God, I'm going to just go through this real hurriedly at the beginning. This covenant provides three blessings. It's a national blessing. I will make thee a great nation. A personal blessing. I will bless thee and make thee a great name. Speaking of Abraham. And it's a universal. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Why is it universal? Because you might say that Israel actually is the link between God and man. Fallen man. Because Israel, through Israel and the seed, the natural seed of Abraham, would come the lineage of Christ. So actually, Israel was the one supposed to, through the natural lineage, to bring Christ up on the earth. And so, actually, God chose Israel for several reasons. We could go through it in another sermon, but there's some main reasons why Israel is so important. It was important to God. God chose her. And the Messiah must come through Abraham's seed according to the flesh. And without the Messiah, the whole world is lost. So not only is the Messiah come through Israel, but the natural blessing. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. So I ask the question, why doesn't everybody bless Israel? Because they don't believe this book. If they believe this book, they bless Israel. But they don't believe this book. But we do believe the book. Now think about this. Majority of the Old Testament is focused on God dealing with Israel, God's chosen nation, and yet God blinded His own personal choice, which was Israel, that we might have a way in. God chose Israel and then had to blind them. And then, out of this multitude of heathen Gentiles, He chose a bride. Now, don't that just make you want to crawl under a cement block? You know, how little we really, I'm sure many times, don't really appreciate what God has done to choose this bride. And His grace was so bountiful. Listen, He chose. How many believes that God chose His bride? We believe that. He chose His bride, and His grace was so bountiful that He extended it to whosoever will. Let them also come. We believe that, don't we? God chose His bride, but extended His grace to whosoever will. How many times have we heard Brother Donnie say the same thing? God chose His bride, and John 3:16, whosoever will. I believe that. Would you like to read that in the Bible? You would? Let's do it. Let's read that. I'll show you an Old Testament type. It's in Second Chronicles 6. So I got it on the board here. In Solomon's prayer, actually in Second Chronicles 6, Solomon's praying when he's dedicating the temple. And it starts in verse 14. We're just going to bring out a couple of blessings. But it starts in verse 14. We'll pick it up in verse 26. But he's praying for many blessings of Israel. Israel is God's chosen. God's chosen place. His chosen people. Now watch. Verse 26. And when the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, talking about the temple, this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them. What place? The temple. Where? Jerusalem. Now hold that. 27. Then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, not everybody's land, thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Now let's drop down to 32. Moreover, now you can read all these blessings, but go down to verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger. Concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, not the elected, the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, if a stranger comes in and prays in this house, then I'm going to pray a blessing on them also. Not only Israel, but even Solomon prayed, God, would you extend your blessing to whosoever will, if they come to this house, pray a blessing on them. But he chose Israel. He chose Israel first. Oh, come and pray in this house. This house, this land, this temple, God's chosen place, God's only provided place. Verse 33, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth for thee to do. Even God will hear them if they pray in this place, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, and doth thy people Israel, and doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. God's only provided place of worship. God's chosen people. But, however, concerning the stranger. Oh, I'm so glad that he even extended to them too. I want you to notice here. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Actually, I don't have this one on the board, but I want you to read it out of your Bible. This is my one of my favorite scriptures, if not my favorite scripture, Deuteronomy 7:6. I want you to see it, read it, mark it in your Bible. Because remember, as Israel types a bride, their journey to the promised land types a bride, Israel the bride. Israel all the way down through. And you're going to see really better tonight why it's such a parallel and an application. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, why he chose Israel. You got it? Say amen. Amen. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee. We could just stop right here and just shout for a minute. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above how many? How many? All the people that are upon the face of the earth. You say, is God unfair? Certainly not. Well, you chose your wife. What about you just let all the rest of the women go? Was that fair or unfair? That was your choice. That was God's choice. That's who he wanted to choose. God's sovereign. You don't have to tell God anything. He don't need counsel. He does what he will. That's why I've been so interested in Israel and the bride. It's Israel is God's tithing. The bride is God's tithing. Israel and the bride. Of all the Gentiles for the last 2,000 years, God chose his bride. And of all the Jews for the last 2,000 years, God chose 144,000, the little Benjamin, if you will. Remember, Benjamin was Joseph's only full brother, and the bride of Christ is her blood brother, his blood brother, if you want to put it that way. Of all the religions of the world, God chose Christianity. I want you to really be thankful tonight for what you're going to see tonight and what you have seen already. Be more appreciative for an election, okay? Fair enough? Of all the places of worship, God chose one provided place. That's under the shed blood and under where the word is made manifest for the hour. Of all the millions that was born in Laodicea, God chose one man to have his picture taken with. One man. Thank God for that. And we're identified with that. And last but not least, of all the real estate on the earth, God chose the land of Palestine for a special, special, special blessing. Amen. Now I'm going to start preaching. Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Hebrews 11:22, look at this. By faith, when he died, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, Joseph, of course, was the perfect type of Christ. And I begin to think, of all the outstanding character of Joseph, of all the outstanding deeds that Joseph did, how he behaved himself in prison, how he resisted temptation with Potiphar's wife, he saved Israel from starvation, he saved Egypt from starvation, he seen visions, he had dreams, he interpreted the dreams. Of all the outstanding things that Joseph did, why, when Paul was eulogizing Joseph in Hebrews 11, why did he say he made mention of the departing of his he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones? I mean, couldn't he think of anything else to eulogize a man with? I mean, you know, just made mention about my bones. I mean, wow, you know. But there's something to that. Let's read that in Genesis 50:25 as our text. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, took an oath. Remember, he took an oath. Before Joseph died, he made his brothers take an oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence. Why didn't he mention his outstanding character? So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He was put in a coffin. They didn't bury him in the ground. They put him in a coffin. Amen. Why did they put him in a coffin? Why didn't they bury him? Now, these are the last two verses in Genesis. Genesis starts out with the beautiful life in the Garden of Eden and ends up with Joseph's bones. You know, I got to studying about Joseph's bones. I got to bless him. You know, Joseph died at 110 years old, and they put him in a coffin. But remember, he made this promise. Don't you leave my bones down here. There ain't nothing good going to come out of Egypt. I don't want to stay down here. You make sure you promise me, you swear, you're going to take my bones out of this place. Amen. Ain't nothing good come out of Egypt. Ain't nothing happening down here. So you know, about 300 years after that passed, Joseph's bones was still in that coffin. I'd say they're probably pretty dry by then, wouldn't you say so? Dry bones, maybe, you know. Now, when Moses leaves Egypt, he's got that coffin full of dry bones. Moses took Joseph's bones when he left. Now, he had to pack them bones around in a coffin for 40 years. Can you imagine that? Packing those bones around in a coffin for 40 years. Moses and the Israelites, they packed that coffin around for 40 years. When actually only it would have taken them 10 days to go to Promised Land. 10 days. You say, 10 days? Well, surely. It was only 10 days' journey from Egypt to Palestine, because Joseph's brothers made three trips from Palestine, you know, down to Egypt. Three different trips. When he said, now go, is my father alive? I want you to get Benjamin. And all. They made three trips, only a 10-day journey. So they made three trips. And Joseph himself made one trip to Palestine to bury his father, Jacob, Israel. But God made that 2 million stiff-necked Israelites wander in the desert for 40 years because of unbelief, when it would have only taken them 10 days to get there. It's only a 10-day trip. But as you remember what I preached last time, they requested the spy mission. It wasn't God requested the spy mission. They requested the spy mission, and because of their unbelief, and they listened to the false report of those 10 lying preachers because of the 40 days in there. And God said, okay, I'm going to punish you. Just wander for 40 years, one day for a year. So why didn't they just bury his bones and dig him up when they left Egypt? The reason is because that coffin with Joseph's bones in it was to be a constant reminder that this is not your home. They could have just buried him in the ground and dug him up. But they put him in a coffin. Most of Israel's history was sojourning. Now that coffin was mobile, ready for transport. It was a constant reminder. Egypt is not your home. Egypt is not your home. Egypt is not your home. Every time they look at that coffin, Egypt is not your home. You know, maybe we ought to leave some of the people in the coffin and not bury them and remind us, this is not our home. Just leave them in the box there. You know, leave them in the box. This is not our home. We get too comfortable here, don't we? Now, this is interesting. The word for coffin is A-R-O-N, Aaron. It's actually all rune is the way it's pronounced. We just say Aaron. The word for coffin. And the word for the Ark of the Covenant is also Aaron. Same Hebrew word. Chest or a coffin. So notice, Jewish tradition, they didn't miss this parallel. So Joseph being placed in an Aaron, and the Ten Commandments being placed in an Aaron, when Israel wandered in the wilderness, they carried both of these two shrines with them. 40 years. Actually about 38 after they left Sinai and Kadesh. The one coffin contained the bones of a dead man, and the other ark contained the covenant of the living God. I want to read what a historian said about this. Let's put that up there. What historians said. The rabbis said that when travelers saw the two side by side, they would ask, how does the ark of the dead come next to the ark of the ever living? The answer was, the dead man enshrined in the one fulfilled the commandments of the other. Even though he lived before the law was given, his life fulfilled the commandments of the law. And I thought, oh God, let that be my testimony. That the man enshrined in that box down there, he lived the life of this message. He lived the life of this Bible. He lived the life that was worthy of the gospel. Let that be my testimony when they put me in a box. Joseph lived the life. He was a perfect type of Christ. Did he make mistakes? Sure he made mistakes. But he didn't bow, he didn't bend, he didn't give in to Potiphar's wife and on and on and on. I want to live that kind of life, that my life is worthy of the gospel. That can be said about me. Say, okay, well, Brother Terry, when are you going to say? I know what you're going to say. When are you going to say it? Well, I'll just go ahead and say it right now. Joseph, being a prophet, knew nothing was ever going to happen to Egypt, but the resurrection was going to be in Palestine. The resurrection would only be in Palestine. Amen. Only be in Palestine. That's why Paul said, by faith, Joseph made mention of his bones. And faith is a revelation. And Joseph, being a prophet, he had a revelation that the resurrection would be in Israel and not in Palestine. In Israel, and Israel was the homeland. Amen. Only in the homeland. No other place. No other place would there be a resurrection. The resurrection is only in the homeland. Abraham had a revelation. Isaac had a revelation. Jacob had a revelation. Joseph had a revelation. Israel, Palestine, that's where the resurrection is going to be. God had one chosen place for the resurrection, and that's in the homeland. No other place. Then and now. Uh-oh, don't panic. Brother, where are all the patriarch fathers, where are they buried? Abraham and Sarah in the cave of Machpelah in Canaan. Isaac and Rebekah in the cave of Machpelah in Canaan. Jacob and Leah and probably Rachel also, the cave in Machpelah, which is in Canaan. Joseph and his brothers in Shechem, which also is in Canaan. They're all in Canaan. All the patriarchs, they all got buried in Canaan. Why? They knew the resurrection going to be in Canaan. Amen. Don't bury me down there in the world. Don't bury me down in Egypt. I want to go to Canaan. Amen. I'm thinking about the future. I don't care. You know, it's okay for me to die now, but take my bones out of here. Glorify Jesus. Listen to what Brother Bram said. Paragraph 37. What Joseph was to Israel as a standing sign, Christ is to the church today. Every poor Israelite with his back beat and stripes under the taskmaster walked by that old lead coffin. I supposed to put my hand on it here a few years ago in a museum in a coffin that Joseph was supposed to have laid in, made out of lead down in Egypt. And there in this leaded coffin, the bones of the prophet, every Israelite walking by there, see, it was a reminder. They walked by and saw that casket, that coffin, that Aaron there, and walked by there and looked there and said, someday we're going out of here. The prophet has said, I say, someday we're going out of here. The prophet has said, someday we're going out of here. The prophet has said, someday we're going out of here. The prophet has said, where are you going? I'm going in a rapture. I'm going up yonder. The prophet said. So I'm saying the same thing that they said back there. Someday we're going out of here. The prophet said it. Oh, aren't you glad about that? I'm believing. And he said, and someday those bones will be packed over into the other land. And we'll go with them over to the homeland. To the homeland. That's the hope of every Christian day, that Joseph was a type laying in the tomb. Christ is a type out of the tomb. What is it? Resurrection. Take my bones to the homeland. That's going to be the great blessing in the homeland. Not in Egypt, in the homeland. Now, before we leave off of that and get down to Aaron's rod, I want to touch on something here. Israel down in Egypt, they was in the wrong place. In the wrong place. Now, even Brother Donnie said last Wednesday night, he said, it does make a difference where you go to church, where you attend church, and the ministry you sit under. It's all Brother Terry. No, I got it right in front of me. Brother Bev said, planting the vine where to plant it. And David's, follow this. And David goes out, our text, Psalms 80 and 7, and said, you plucked up the vine out of Egypt and you brought it out and planted it in a good place. That was Israel, God's people that was in Egypt. There was a good vine. They were God's chosen. But if a good vine isn't set in good ground, it will not bring forth good fruits. It depends on where the vine is planted will determine the results of the crop. So God picks up Israel out of a barren ground. Follow with me. Could you have condemned Israel while in Egypt? They just got off on the wrong foot. Their sins had separated them from God and they were planted in Egypt. Now notice he corrects this in a minute where it says planted. That's the way many people are in churches today. Good people just planted in the wrong place. Are you listening? Now, a real believer is brought to Christ and he's planted in some big denomination that doesn't believe in miracles and signs and wonders of the Lord. That person may be a genuine Christian and a Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, something else in that church, a genuine vine of God. But the denominational creeds cuts off the life of that vine. Amen. They can't bear fruit. Amen. And usually what fruits you get off the vine that's stunted or not in good... Or not in good ground, it's bad fruits. It'll come forth like apples and be not even worm-eaten. Watch this now. Paragraph 23. Blessed is the man that will not assemble himself with these scoffers, making fun, calling the true church a bunch of fanatics. Who wants to assemble with them? He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God has put him in a choice spot. Glory! God has put him in a choice spot. His fruit shall not wither. He will bring forth his leaves and his fruits in his season. Watch how David worded that. This man is blessed. He will be planted, not just set out. Planted, not just set out. You know, I like to see anything planted. Now, Israel in Egypt was not planted. See, he corrects what he said a little while ago. Israel in Egypt was not planted. They were just set out. It wasn't their original home ground. It wasn't their original home ground. And a man that's a Christian that rests his eternal destination on some denominational creed, might as well just update it. Just update it. Some creed. He's not in his right place. He was born to be free and a child of God to worship God. But he's under a creed. He can't bring forth his fruits. Yet something in him is longing to do it. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Rivers, plural, water, singular. Many rivers coming into one channel. Can I finish this quote? There are many different things God promises to heal. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was on him. With his stripes we were healed. Listen how where he applies this. Rivers of one water. The Holy Spirit. There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Rivers of one water. The water is the Holy Spirit. One water, but there's many rivers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The fivefold ministry. How are you going to do away with it? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of many water. Rivers of water, rather. Rivers, many rivers of one water. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Brothers, right there. It's very clear. Oh, brother. Oh, my. Now let's look at Aaron's rod for just a minute. We'll try to pick this up a little bit more. The Old Testament happening, but it surely has a New Testament bride type and application. Now, the setting for Aaron's rod, you know the story, Aaron's rod that was placed in the Shekinah glory and behind the inner veil. And what it was, immediately after the incidents of Korah's rebellion and all that happened with Korah being killed and different ones, and Korah and Dathan are buried, they questioned the authority of Moses, the priesthood of Aaron and the tribe of Levi. So God said, okay, we'll just settle this thing. So every one of you princes, you just bring me a rod. We'll put it in here in the tabernacle of witness, and we'll just see who's got the sanction of God. So that's the setting here. God decided to settle it with a supernatural act. Let's read it, Numbers 17 and 1, a couple of verses here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, notice the sovereignty of Almighty God. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, and of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, write thou every man's name upon the rod. Now they're going to identify the man with his tribe. And thou shalt put Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet you. That's in the holiest of holies, not the outer court, not the inner court, the holy of holies. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose, the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes, which a prince now is one that's elevated, a leader or a captain. So he just chose the top guy. Every one of the princes gave him a rod apiece. And each prince, one according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now all the rods in the presence of God, all of them. Remember now, they're all dead sticks. All dead sticks. Staffs, they use them for staff, you know, for whatever. Their rod, their staff. They're all dead sticks. I don't know if theirs was almond or not. Aaron's was. Verse 8, and it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness and beheld the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds, bloom blossoms, and yielding almonds. Not in the outer court, not in the inner court, only in the Holy of Holies. Amen. It was dead in the outer court. It was still dead in the inner court. But when it came into presence of the Shekinah glory, that's when it was resurrected. Amen. That's when it came to life. Only there. Verse 9, and Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept, to guard or preserve for a token, which is an ensign or a warning. Be kept for a token against the rebels, that thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Brother, that settled it. That they die not. That settled it. No wonder the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the dissolver of all doubts. It was the Holy Ghost that gave that dead stick life. It was the Holy Ghost that resurrected that stick. It was the Holy Ghost that brought life in it and showed it for a purpose. God had a purpose to show those unbelievers. God had chosen the tribe of Levi to be the Aaronic priesthood. And you quit blabbering your mouth about it, complaining, questioning the authority of Aaron and Moses. Remember, only in the Shekinah presence today, which is a word birth of token, it's the only place there'll be any resurrection. Now, what can we glean from this? First, a little sprout on Aaron's rod alone actually would have been sufficient. I mean, just a little sprout. That would have been sufficient. I mean, if he brought it out, just had a little sprout on it. But not only did it sprout, it blossomed, budded, and yielded ripe almonds all in one night. What a miracle! Just in one night. What God did. So God produced an overwhelming evidence that he was pleased with Aaron's leadership and the priestly order. Why would God change? God was pleased with Aaron's priesthood. You say, well, we still got the same problem today. Why do some people still question the order of the priesthood and the fivefold ministry? Same old devil. Aaron's rod that produced fruit didn't mean that Aaron was the most spiritual man, and that he didn't make mistakes, but it proved that Aaron was God's chosen priest and that the nation was required to recognize it. That's what it proved. There was a question about was the tribe of Levi or who else? Maybe some of the other tribes could be priests. No. God chose them and them alone. Not only that, but God placed that rod in the Ark of the Covenant as a perpetual reminder that God was satisfied with that priesthood. Let everybody see it from now on that the tribe of Levi and the sons of Aaron, they are the priests and nobody else has a right to it. It's a perpetual reminder. Just like Joseph's bones down in Egypt, it's a perpetual reminder. This is not your home. You go by and look at that casket, look at that coffin, there's Joseph's bones in there. This is not our home. We're down in Egypt. Perpetual reminder. You know, we could use some more perpetual reminders. This is not our home. We ought to have caskets lined up everywhere. This is not our home. Oh, mercy. But they placed that rod in the ark as a perpetual reminder, a sign that Aaron's priesthood would always be Aaron's priesthood. And it's the same thing today. And God has laid up Ephesians 4:11 in the ark of the New Testament as a token forever. And dare anybody to try to change that. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. God put it in there. Who's going to take it out? But they do the same thing today. They question. They question the authority and the priesthood today. The five-hole ministry. It happened then. It's going to happen today. Sure it is. Oh, brother. Notice verse 10 says that they die not. Listen. The congregation already witnessed the death of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, along with the death of 250 leaders, along with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and along with 14,700 deaths by the plague of Korah's sympathizers, they had a reason, they had a right to be afraid. Amen. That's why I said, put it in the ark as a perpetual reminder that they die not. Look at that. If you don't want to die, look and see what I have chosen, what I have decreed, what I have declared. That's my choice. Amen. If you don't like it, you may just die about it. Right. That you die not. You know, as we read, you know, in planting the vine and where to plant it, where Brother Bam talks about, you know, Israel was not in the right place. They were just stuck out down in Egypt. They were not in their homeland. They were just passing through, pilgrims and strangers. And how can anybody say that, you know, that not being in a homeland church, that you're in the home, how can you say you're in the homeland if you're not in a message church or homeland church, if you claim to be bride? There's only one place for the bride, that's in the homeland. What's the big issue about playing tapes? Listen, playing tapes was never intended by God to replace the fivefold ministry. Listen, I believe in listening to tapes. Amen. And if you don't listen to tapes, shame on you. But he never intended that to replace the fivefold ministry. Listen to tapes. Some people now don't even want to listen to tapes anymore. But if you don't, shame on you. That's all I got to say about that. Rivers of one water. Waters of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of the fivefold ministry. Even Brother Bram told us that when Jesus fed the 5,000, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples to distribute it. I mean, there's types all through the Bible. God's provided way. Amen. Oh, mercy. Let me just, I don't want to take a lot of time this, but I want to. What do you think really happened in 1962, December 1962, sirs, what is the time? Let me just cover this. It was a time for Revelation 10:1 to be fulfilled. The covenant angel. Listen, Israel is a covenant people. The bride is a covenant people. So this covenant angel was Christ, Revelation 10:1. The covenant angel was sent to a covenant people. William Branham stepped into the office of a word prophet with a sword in his hand and declared that denominational ages have run out. He said, when God opens those seals, he said, denominational ages have run out. God's pulling them out. He said, he's still, you know, if somebody's in there, I mean, you know, some may come from foolish virgins out there, but as far as dealing with the system, he don't deal with them systems anymore. He's finished with the systems. And Brother Man said, and there was a sword placed in my hand. Why was there a sword placed in his hand? The sword is a symbol of power, protection, authority, strength, and courage. The sword in my hand. That wasn't just, well, it just happened to happen. No, it just didn't happen. It was a purpose in him receiving that sword, and it was a sign. Power, protection, authority, strength, and courage. In the Old Testament, when the king transferred his power to his son that was going to take the kingdom, he handed his son that sword. And his sword was that symbol of power and authority and strength and courage and protection. And he had the same authority that his father did. Amen. So God's trying to say it's now time for the word to be restored. And I now have on earth a seasoned, mature prophet that can handle that sword. So God placed that sword, which was a word, in his hand. In 1963, there now the opening of the word, that portion of that third pull was to be open. The revealing of the word. And then happening, and what happened in that, God brought a blessing to the bride and brought a curse to denominations. Denominations have run out. Let's read it, the fourth seal. Like he gave Egypt space to repent. What was that last plague? Death. What's the last plague that hit the Pentecostal church? This is the fourth seal now, the opening of the word. Death. She's dead. Pentecostal church is spiritual death. She's dead. That's in the name of the Lord. She's spiritually dead. He gave her space to repent and she rejected. Now she's dead. She'll never rise again. Be no resurrection for denominations. They're dead. They'll never rise again. Why would God, listen, if she's dead, which she is dead, why would God deal with something that's dead? Yeah, God will pull one out here and there, but as far as the system is dead. God don't deal with it no more. He goes on to say, oh my, and notice he gave her space to repent, but she didn't do it. He's done it again. She won't do it. Her rejection, look what her rejection made a way for. Her rejection makes her rejection makes a perfect way for Satan to come in and to be incarnate. That's right, incarnate himself right in her because she's rejected the word. That's exactly the same thing that the Protestant church becomes a harlot, and it's because she rejects the vindicated truth of the word of God, and that gives the devil a place to come right in and incarnate himself. I'm talking about when the image of the beast is set up, and he will make an image unto the beast when they can consolidate together right yonder now, go on and do just exactly what he said. That's right, amen. See, Satan bringing in, is what Brother Donnie preached, Satan bringing in his substitutes. That's what the denominations has all done, substitutes. Brother, Brother West, we could preach the rest of the sermons on what do they have? What do the denominations? What do they try to offer people to keep them here? Every kind of sports activity, every kind of supper, every kind of. I saw a sign there on church down there. They're going to have a beach party one Saturday, and they got this and they got that. And he said, and Brother Ben said in the layout of seeing church age tapes, he said they got all kinds of programs, all kinds of programs, just everything. Just get the young people in. Just give them everything. To bring them in. Brother, if the Word of God won't bring them in, they're not in. If this Bible won't bring them in, they're not in to begin with. Well, you got a bunch of church members. You bring them to Christ, they'll stay in. You give them a soup supper or a hot dog, weenie roast or whatever, they'll just come back for another hot dog. But you give them Christ, they're locked in. That's nothing but the truth. I remember what just coming. I remember years and years ago that video of Martin Luther. I never will forget how that when they brought Martin Luther and they were, you know, bringing him before the council and everything, and he was sitting down in the floor, and all these Catholic priests and you know, the big wigs, you know, in the Catholic Church, and they was questioning him, and you know, and we've got to give the people novenas, and we've got to give them rosary beads, and we've got to give them all the different things that the Catholic said. And he asked him, he said, Martin Luther, if we don't give them all these things, you know, that what will we give them? He said, give them Christ. He said, give them Christ. You don't need these rosary beads and all these novenas and stuff like that. Don't give them that. Give them Christ. And that's what the church needs to do, to give them Christ. They'll stay in. Every kind of substitute, that's what Brother Donnie said, every kind of substitute, trying to fulfill that holy thirst with some substitute. It'll never last. It won't hold. But you give them Christ, it'll hold. No more substitutes. Oh, brother, she's dead and don't know it, Revelation 3:14. All right, now let's pair a little bit. Joseph's bones, Aaron's rod. What parallels can we bring? What kind of a parallel can we bring out of this? First of all, they were both dead. Obviously, they're both dead. Dead bones, dead stick. Dry bones, dead stick. But see, we're showing parallel. Israel, bride. They were both chosen of God. Seed of Abraham, tribe of Levi. Both chosen of God. Oh, listen to this. They were both a token reminder of their intended purpose. Put them bones in that coffin, and when the people go by and look at that, they remember this is not your home. Put that rod and butter, put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and it'd be a perpetual reminder. That's my chosen priesthood. They were both chosen of God. They were both token reminders of their intended purpose. They were both placed in an Aaron, in a chest, both placed in the same kind of chest, or the same name for a chest, rather. And they were both used to prove God's purpose. And most importantly, they both experienced a resurrection. They both experienced a resurrection. And both resurrections were in the land of Israel, Palestine, the homeland. Oh, you say, we don't live in the homeland. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Brother Ben said Gable's instruction to Daniel, paragraph 133. And God never did deal with Israel till she come to her homeland. Hear me, thus saith the Lord, God will not deal with his church till she comes back to the homeland, comma, the message of the hour. Come back to the original. Glory, hallelujah. Brother, the message of the hour, this is our homeland. That's our homeland. This message is our homeland. Israel had a natural land. We have a spiritual land. But it's both the homeland. Remember, don't forget this now. You're in the homeland, but you're not home. You're in the homeland, but you're not home. So our homeland is the message. Recognizing your day, he says, paragraph 74. Oh, you men in other lands where you hear this tape, can't you wake up, my brother? Or does it blind you? Would you throw it all out and call this false prophecy when it's vindicated right before you by the world, by the time, by the peoples, and by the Holy Spirit who wrote it? It's vindicated both naturally and spiritually and materially. Everything that he said is fulfilled and proven. Israel in her land drove them in there, herded them in like sheep. The wolves got after her and to run her back to safety, to their own land. There's nobody else. There's nobody else that have ever used the words that the prophet of God used in the fifth seal. How that 6 million Jews was killed by Hitler and Eichmann and so forth like that. You know what he said? He said it was a tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. The death of 6 million Jews, a tender hand of Jehovah. Why? Because somebody had the wolves had to get after Israel to run her back to the homeland. And God sent a prophet in Revelation 10:1 to bring the word of the hour, and she's rejected the message of the hour, and now she's been cursed because of it, denominations. And the bride has gone into her homeland. herded there like sheep. The wolves got after her, running back to safety to their own land. Remember, Israel is only promised to be blessed as long as she was in her land. God never blessed Israel outside of the land. Abraham went outside of the land and he was what?
Condemned.
What?
Condemned.
Everyone that leaves the land is condemned. Naturally and spiritually. Naturally and spiritually. You leave this message, you're condemned. You got a knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. I know that's strong, brother, but that's still the truth. You got a knowledge of this and understanding of this message. You leave this message, forget it. Everyone that leaves the land is condemned. God only can bless Israel when she stays in her homeland and she is there now as a nation, and the bride is now here as a people, a bride, an elected, chosen people. Everyone that leaves the land is condemned. You leave this message, you're condemned also. Why would anybody want to leave the greatest truth that's ever struck the earth? The complete revelation of Jesus Christ. A prophet that's been vindicated above any other ministry since the Lord Jesus himself. Second pull, not one time did it ever fail. Tens of thousands of times told the secrets of the heart, not one time. That's only God. He also says, paragraph 136, come back to the homeland, to the beginning, back to the Pentecostal experience, like that happened on the day of Pentecost when the power of the living God changed those thousands of people and set their heart aflame with the fire of God. That's what's wrong with too many people today. They sit around the message, but they never met that pillar of fire. When you meet that pillar of fire, you're going to be changed, transformed. Your whole nature's changed. Your life has changed. Your desires has changed. Your focus has changed. Your appetite has changed. The things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. The things you used to like to do, you don't do them anymore. Everything about you's changed. Your whole nature changed. You used to be a pig and now you're a human. If you could take the life of a pig and put it in a human, he'd never want to be a pig again. But we've been changed. Our nature's changed. Our focus, our life, our appetite, everything. But you gotta go to the upper room.
Amen.
Why do you think in Luke 24:49, and you shall go up to the city of Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power?
Amen.
You know, brother, you said, well, wait a minute, power. I don't know about that. Brother Man said, like a policeman said, we got authority, not power. That ain't the kind of power he's talking about. You shall receive power. The Bible says you shall receive power.
Amen.
Power to do what? Power to resist evil.
Amen.
Withstand temptation. Some people would rather repent than resist temptation. Anybody can repent, but it's hard to resist temptation. But I tell you what, you get the Holy Ghost and He'll help you resist temptation, because it's the power of God living in the bride. That's the only thing that'll help you live right, can keep you living right. Back to the homeland, to the beginning, the Pentecostal experience. Brother, if you don't have it, you better get it. And that's why Joseph made his brother swear that he would carry his bones to Palestine. No resurrection in Egypt, only in the homeland. No life in Egypt, no resurrection in Egypt, no first fruits in Egypt, only in the homeland. Oh, brother, the blessing of all blessings, resurrection in the homeland. By faith, Joseph, faith is a revelation. The church is built upon divine revelation. Look at this layout of seeing church age, paragraph 355. By God, but God is calling another zeal. It is the zeal to cry, I am wrong. Now, who is going to say that he is wrong? What is it that all these denominations are based upon? The claim of originality and that of God. The claim that they are right. Now they all cannot be right. In fact, not one of them is right. They are whited sepulchers full of what?
Dead man's
bones. But they have no life in them. Joseph's bones had life. But these don't have no life in them. They have no vindication. God has never made himself known in any organization. They say they are right because they are the ones that are saying it, but saying it doesn't make it so. They need to vindicate it, thus saith the Lord of God, and they don't have it, but we do. Thank God that God has sent us, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord.
Not one time did thus saith the Lord ever fail. Not one time did it ever fail. Oh, brother, full of dead man's bones that have no life in them. Joseph's bones had life, had that quickening power. But even though those bones had quickening power, those bones had to be planted in the homeland. Not just stuck out, planted. Not in Egypt, planted. The same principle of Aaron's rod, it had to be planted in the right place, not in the outer court, not in the court. It had to be in that Holy of Holies to resurrect. Aaron's rod was dead, just a dry stick. Aaron carried around a dead stick. But in the outer court, still a dead stick. In the inner court, still a dead stick. But buddy, when it came in the Holy of Holies, then it came life. Budded, blossomed, brought forth fruit, ripe almonds. Not just almonds, but ripe almonds. Overnight. What a miracle. Oh, can these bones live again? Can this dry stick live again? Yes. Can this bride live again? Yes. Will she go in a rapture? Yes. Will there be a resurrection for her? Yes. We going up yonder? Yes. Oh, brother, we're getting real close. Fellowship, he said, you take any old dead life, lay it in the holiest of holies for a while. Boy, I just love this. You take any old dead life and lay it in the holiest of holies for a while and let it come through the process of the blood, the water, and sanctification, and then go into the holiest of holies, it'll blossom out. That's why Brother Ben talked about the devil said, you know, he can't live the life, you know. He couldn't go up to Pentecost, but because if he went up to Pentecost in the other room, then he'd be my brother. Because he received the Holy Ghost like the rest of them did, but he couldn't do it. No representation, no life in him, no possibility. Power of decision. Put Aaron's rod in there, an old dead almond tree. But as it went under the Shekinah glory, everything it was restored again. It used to be a live almond tree, but it was a dead stick, but now it's alive again. That's the way a sinner is when he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit. The veil drops behind him. Everything that he ought to have been, a son of God, blooms out in him again. Brother, it's one thing to come to church. It's one thing just to be what we call saved at the altar. Sanctified. That's all good. That's the three steps in redemption. But you got to be in the Shekinah glory. You got to meet that pillar of fire. You got to get a new birth. You got to get that word birth. You got to pass. You got to be converted. Why do you think Brother Miff said in the Church Age book, he said that the foolish virgins, he said, every one of them, they thought they was under the blood. They thought that they had the Holy Ghost. They thought that they had the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Don't take no chances. You know, and we were talking about, you say, well, you know, how do we know this and this and this and this? It's very, Jesus told very simple, by their fruits you should know them. All you got to do is look at a person's life. Yeah, they can go to church and they can do it, but somewhere down the line, if they don't have the goods, they're going to fall away, live a hypocritical life or whatever. But you give them a little time. Just watch that life. Maybe months, maybe years. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Brother Branham, one time he thought it was love. Said, well, no, then the devil can impersonate that and the denomination speaking in tongues and on, but he said it's a life lived. Because if you've got the goods, you'll live a life. Going to church won't save you, but if you're saved, you will go to church. It's just that simple. That's your passion. That's your life. That's your love. Amen. If you do other things and don't go to church, it shows you put other things before church. I don't care if it's five times a year, four times a year, three times a year, or whatever it is. Let's see what else we can find here that's real good. Listen, you people are a blessed people. You're a covenant people. This bride is a resurrected bride. This bride is resurrected material. She's a covenant people. And Brother Man says in the Token Shreveport, and today the Holy Ghost is God's covenant with God's covenant people. Did you hear what I said? The Holy Ghost is God's covenant with God's covenant people. The Holy Ghost, the life of the resurrected Christ, has got to be displayed in the church among the people, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which reminds me, that brother, what was the brother's, I don't remember his name, doesn't really matter. They put on the soundtrack before church, showing what salvation is all about. That is the most absolute, best, comprehensive, detailed, explicit analysis of what salvation is all about I've ever heard. Tremendous. I got Brother Michael Baylor to make me four copies of it. I mean, that is absolute. When your life is so, I mean, I couldn't even begin to explain the words and the adjective he's used. Everything you do, you say, your focus, your life, you know, God, should I do this? God, should I do that? Everything you pray about, God, help me this. God, you know, it's all about your life and relationship with the Almighty God. That's what salvation is all about. As he said, part of it, he said, it's not trying to keep you out of hell, it's trying to bring God down to heaven to put it in you. If he could just get God out of heaven and put him in somebody and that he could incarnate that individual, his life, the token life, would he'd live a different kind of life. Amen. Oh, brother, the token, Bakersfield. He could not go into the house. The death angel destroyer would take one out. He couldn't do it because there was the blood of the Lamb, the requirement of Jehovah. And the requirement of him today is the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ, and the token of the Holy Ghost. We haven't got it. We might be Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostals, whatever we might be. We might shout, scream. We might be so educated that it has not one thing to do with it. You must present the token. Then you are subject for the resurrection. Did you hear what I said? You got the token, you're subject. If you got the token, you will be in the resurrection. Because the resurrection power, resurrecting power, is already in you. The token is the resurrection power. The token is the resurrection power. And if you got the token, you're in the homeland, you will be resurrected. Just that simple. Because you're a covenant people. God has already said so. The token is the resurrection power, showing that Jesus raised up from the dead, and you are raised from the dead. The dead things of unbelief have been made alive in the Word of Jesus Christ. You believe it, and the Word lives in you. Amen. How many believes that? Amen. Oh, brother, although you might be under the umbrella of a covenant message, if you don't have the token, you're not approved. Let's read this last quote here. The token, Dallas. Brother Man said, the token was above the covenant. That's why I just said what I said. For Israel had a covenant to be circumcised. And a lot of people are in this, are around and around, in and around this covenant message. For Israel had a covenant to be circumcised, and any Jew could go out and show any person, I can prove to you that I am circumcised. I'm a Jew. I am circumcised according to Jehovah's command. But yet that didn't expel him if the token wasn't there also. Amen. Remember now when they left Egypt, if the token wasn't there also, he must display the token. If they didn't put the blood on the door, the death angel would come by. There was death. They must have the token, the blood. Do you get it? Congregation says, amen. The token has got to be there anyhow. And if you are in the covenant, and any Jew could say, I ain't putting no blood on my door, I can prove I'm in the covenant. Jew, the death angel got him. No matter how loyal he was, how much church member he was, how much tithes he paid, how he said he believed in Jehovah, Jehovah required the token. Jehovah required the token. Musicians, if you want to come on. Jehovah required the token. Amen. Brother, just as much as Aaron's rod, but it had to be not in the outer court, the inner court. It had to be in the holies of holies. Brother, we've got to be ourselves. We've got to be not only in the covenant, but we've got to have that token, possess that token life. What is a token? The literal life of Jesus Christ. Why did God send Revelation 10:1-7, that covenant angel, 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, and swore by him that time should be no more? He opened up the seals. He brought us the word, all the message and everything that's been brought to us, the three phases of the third pool and all the revelations and the wonderful thing. What's he doing? He's showing us sanctification. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself. You know, back when we came in a message in 83, and you know, there are a lot of different things going around, you know, that you don't need to take communion anymore, and the rapture's done, took place, and there's no more blood, it's just the life of the blood, and all kinds of things like that, you know. Nobody else is saved after 63 and a bunch of nonsense. I was saved after 63. And I know I'm in. They can't pull that lie on me. But you take all the different things, you know, all the different things that are said, and they have just a little bit, of truth, but they want to bring something new and something, you know, horrendous, you know, something they can tickle the ears of people with. Just, Brother Man said, just say what the tapes say. It's real simple. Just say what the tapes say. Say what the messenger said. I don't have to come up here and try to bring something new that you've never heard before. I just say what he said. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for you. Just say what he said. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Now, did we parallel that? Joseph's bones, Aaron's rod, and you. Resurrection. Only in the homeland. I want to ask you, aren't you glad that you're in the homeland? Brother Dan, there ain't no resurrection outside the homeland. For Israel, no resurrection in Egypt. It had to be in Palestine. For the bride, and remember, I missed saying something. There's only, listen, I think I missed a whole page there. There's only two groups of people on the earth that's chosen. Israel and the bride. Search it out. There's only two groups. God chose Israel. He didn't choose the Persians, the Amorites, the Jebusites, all those seven nations. He didn't choose none of them. You know, the Nebuchadnezzar and all those different kings, didn't choose none of them. He chose Israel. And all the Gentiles, he chose an elect lady, his tithing, the bride. You had nothing to do with it. That was God's choice. How much do we really thank God? Say, God, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for election. I had nothing to do with it. And sometimes we think, oh, Brother Donnie, I mean, he's hit it and hit it and hit it and hit it and free will this and free. Brother, it's not right. The Bible says God chose his church, his bride, before the foundation of the world. You had nothing to do with it. All you had to do is surrender and say, I accept. I accept. He chose me. I accept. It's just that simple. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Harry, you got something to sing for us? Why don't you sing it? We'll sing a song or two and then I'll let you go. God bless you. Amen.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going someday, soon.
Maybe very soon.
Ask you where I'm going, where I'm going someday soon. Tell them for me I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. Yeah.
Right before we're dismissed, just to realize some of the benefits of being in a covenant. You know, Israel, God's covenant people, God's chosen. But you realize, even today in Israel, in the land of Palestine, only 20% of the Israel that's there today is religious. The rest of them are just renegades. I hate to say it that way. They're just Jews. They come from Russia, Poland, Africa, all over the world, being gathered back. But they're Jews. But out of that, of course, God chose 144,000 of them, which is going to be His group that He chose, you know, during the tribulation to receive the message, prophets, Revelation 11. But only 20% of them is really Orthodox, is really Jews. I mean, they're Jews, but really religious. The rest of them are just 80% of them, just worldly people. In fact, Tel Aviv, which is actually the capital of Israel, is fast becoming a homosexual capital of the world. No. You didn't know that, did you? I mean, it's you know, even though Israel, you look at their patents, look at their scientific research, look at their military, look at how God has helped them and win five major wars, you know, supernaturally, and all the things that God, their agriculture, their drip irrigation, the gave desert, on and on and on and on and on. God has a covenant with Israel and blessed Israel. But just because they're Jews don't mean that they have a right to salvation. They're just Israelites. Listen, you're a covenant people, and many times you're blessed because you're under the umbrella of a covenant message. But how thankful you will be if you're part of that 20%, if you will, that you're part of God's elected that's under that covenant message. I want to be that part of the tithing of Almighty God. Not just to say I'm an Israelite living in Palestine. I want to be the elect. That's what I desire. But you're blessed just to be under the umbrella of this message. As I told you last time, why did a mixed multitude come out of Egypt? Because they saw such a tremendous amount of supernatural. And the supernatural attracts a mixed multitude. That's why there's a mixed multitude that come out of Egypt. Not only just Hebrews, but Egyptians and all kinds of people come out. They saw the supernatural. Why is there so much around this message? Because of the supernatural. It always attracts a mixed multitude. I got to quit preaching. Harriet, sing it one more time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your presence. We love you with all of our heart. Thank you, Lord, for helping us tonight. I pray, Lord, that something said that we could take home to help us to really appreciate election and calling. We love you, Lord. Bless your children as they part. Keep us safe, Lord, never from your presence. May we come back the next appointed time. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. Brother Harry's going to sing as you're dismissed. You're free to go in the name of the Lord. Amen.
I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. that they bring. I've a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run my race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder. I'm gonna be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. We're going in the rapture.